Good evening once again, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jason Wetzel from scenic and historic downtown Fayetteville. And Lynn Pryor, the artistic and creative genius of the Gilbert Theater. Lynn, what's in store for us tonight?
Well, first of all, Jason, I have to make a correction to something I said last week. Anybody who's someone who listens to these pathetic, oral histories, are probably finding mistakes all over the place. Well, I found one last week when I listened to the tape this week, talking about Friendly Fire by Chris Canfield. That was the play that we did downstairs and took to a competition. And I remember I said that we came in second after all over the entries all over the state, and one of the judges said we should have won. But I said at that time that it was a Vietnam story. I'm having those synapses in my mind are not firing. Listen to what I'm going to read to you here. Friendly Fire, a reprise of last season's premiere, directed by Michael Brocky. Small town life is disrupted as a Gulf War veteran struggles with the darker side of human nature in this psychodrama set in Chapel Hill. Contains strong language and adult themes. Yeah, it was based on a true event in Chapel Hill.
And when was the play? What year?
In the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to read this. I didn't read this earlier. This is from Greg Hathaway. Greg Hathaway and the Gilbert Theater are proud to announce the grand opening of Fayetteville's newest theater, located at Gallery 122 on Maxwell Street. Oh, for heaven's sakes, I forgot about that. There was a time when we were allowed, welcome at Greg Hathaway's wonderful building there on Maxwell Street. And it says, to launch our new theater properly, a festive dance is planned after the performance on November 1st. The Arts Center's Great Room, 301 Hay Street, is the stage, and you are the actors in eye masks and party attire. We will also be wishing our cast and crew to break a leg. Days after closing, the company will travel to Asheville to enter Friendly Fire in the North Carolina Theater Conference Community Theater Competition. If you would like to attend the performance and or the party, and so on. So I'd forgotten about that. That was very lovely of Greg to do that.
There was a time when the Gilbert was referred to as the Gilbert Gallery Theater.
The Gilbert Gallery Theater. That is what... Thank you for... Yes, I get by with a lot of help from my friends. When we left here, we haven't begun to leave here yet in
That's
this whole
right.
history.
Right.
When we leave here, we go down to the... Arts Council Great Gallery, and that building is the former post office, built in 1910, beautiful building. And since the Great Room, since we were then performing in this thing that ordinarily was an art gallery, we called it the Gilbert Gallery Theater. So thank you, James, for reminding of that a bit early, but nevertheless, it'll bear repeating, I'm sure. Jason, I just went through the scrapbook, pulling things out, and I'm glad you weren't there because I was damaging some of those original backing paper, and that you told me that huge 8-year long 49 play scrapbook should never be in a 1913 ledger, and I couldn't agree with you more. And it's all yellow and crinkling, in order to share it, it is so big. It's a huge fan now, and I had to read something by putting my head down at a 90 or some kind of degree angle to read it. And then if I want to use it for the show, I have to take it off. And that's what I've been doing, but we will return those pieces later. But here's something I found. Gilbert Theater, 647 Brants Lane, presents a theater party. Yes, in those early days, not wanting to annoy the neighbors too much, I call things theater parties. And this particular card, which was sent to Mrs. Beth Johnston, who was our photographer for years and years and years, a wonderful photographer. She was gave her her talents so frequently. Thank you, Beth, if you're listening to this. Anyway, this was your card. Somehow I got it and put it and slapped it into the scrapbook. But what we were doing that night was we were doing a reading. Now, we used to do a lot of readings. When we didn't have a play going on, we would just squirrel in a Saturday night or something during rehearsal or something, and a Sunday afternoon, and sit on black stools. I bought 8 or 10 tall stools, painted them black, flat, matte black. And I have several of them still downstairs to this day. And they're back and forth to the existing theater whenever they need a stool. And we would sit there and we would do a play reading. Not a stage reading, which you get or do some moving, but we would just read something. And this Christmas, we read A Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas. This says, Child's Christmas in Wales, a reading December, or it was two nights, December 13th and 14th, 8 p.m. Respond, s'il vous plaît, and so on. And you can bring one guest.
And how was that received?
Well, they were all loved, if I do think so. I say so to myself. And who could lose on that one? You know, just what you do for those readings, rehearse two or three times. You'd get some fine people together, sit on a stool, and you're going to do this part, you're going to do this part, you're going to do that part. And assign them like that, hand out the scripts, practice a couple of times, and then invite your friends, and it was always just lovely. And then we would have Christmas desserts and drinks, and go up to the living room and have a fire in the fireplace and sit in front of the tree.
You know, what you're describing goes back 200 years in America. This is how people entertain themselves.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Entertainment is entertainment. We should still be doing it. I mean, just anybody can do it. I mean, you don't have to have theater background. You can just, when I was in Berkeley, I was part of two play reading groups, and I enjoyed that so much. And it was very, very, simple. You'd go there and, let's say 7 in the evening, this wonderful Julia Morgan building near the UC campus called the Berkeley City Club. Go to the beautiful room with a big fireplace. And Marge, I'll never forget, Marge Gilchrist would set up, here's the name of the play. She would choose them. Nobody had any input. She would just choose the plays. And then say, Lynn, you're going to read this part, and you're going to read this part, and you're going to read this part. And then we would just read them. And then we would choose one of the plays from, we'd do it once a month, choose one of the plays to turn into a stage reading at Christmas time for club members in this absolutely gorgeous Julia Morgan building, a room, big fireplace, roaring fire, incredible 15-foot tall trees, and then do the stage reading there. Those were great days, but nothing is greater than our lives right now, I must say. But here, and one of the things that happened Christmas after Christmas in that very same room with lots of people invited, friends and family, I would read Truman Capote's A Christmas Memory. What makes me think of it is, I have a card here because evidently, I've kind of, no, I don't, I do remember. I did it 2 or 3 times here in the living room. And this is what it says. Gilbert Theatre, Brant's Lane, presents Truman Capote's A Christmas Memory of Reading. If you would like to attend, call this number to reserve a seat for the date of your choice. Admission is free, reservations required. Now, this is really wasn't part of the Gilberts. It wasn't part of the Gilbert Theater. We say the Gilbert Theater, but it really was my own Christmas party. And I would read the Christmas Memory for my friends. And I loved doing that.
That would be a nice tradition.
And I could, and I have this the wonderful script I used. We could do it. Now, you know, we really, really enjoyed doing shows, monologues. I think must have done it under my aegis about 6 of them. One of them was Talking With. And this was written by Jane Martin. And Jason is looking at this program I took out of the there. Please forgive me. I'm taped it up here. But anyway, I had to have it in my hands because I wanted to read these things about the author. Jane Martin, in quotes, a pseudonym for an anonymous Louisville playwright. Maybe a male or a female. We don't know. What we do know is that he or she writes quirky plays about feisty women. Vital Signs, that's one of the plays we did here as well. I really wanted to do Cementville, but that was with a bunch of roller skating derby women who would curl your hair if you'd heard them talk. But then, we did Vital Signs by Jane Martin, but we also did his Keely and Dew, and we'll get to that perhaps next week. That is a play that needs talking about at length. But Jane Martin, I do know who it is, a man, and he was a artistic director at the Louisville Playhouse for years, and his name escapes me at the moment. If he's listening, that's what you get for not using your real name. let's see, 11 different monologues. Some of them were 10 minutes long, others were 15 or 20. And I'm just going to hit a few of them here. Clear Glass Marbles by our wonderful Jane Moran. She hasn't been on the Gilbert stage enough in recent years. But it was all about marbles. And we had hundreds of marbles that she would hold up to the light in this container. I kind of forget the story that she was telling. And then somehow she drops this container with the marble, and all of them just roll all over the place. And then she goes around and picks them up and is continuing with the story. Well, I'm telling you, we found marbles. Sometimes you've really lost your marbles around here, but we'd find them years, months and months later. Here, a little something where someone was step on one and pack it, break their neck. Anyway, I do remember that very clearly. Then, our wonderful Nancy Roach, what a fabulous actress she was, she was a rodeo girl. Rhonda Brocky did something with a twirler, what do you call it? Baton. She twirled a baton, and with her dance movement, she did that, but she told her story while twirling this baton. Then story time earlier this evening, the theater stories. I mentioned this one, but this was with the wonderful, wonderful Ann Tosco, Lamps. And we were talking about spectacle on stage. Well, each one of these was just a spot light on the stage with these 11 people. Most they're all women, telling these stories. And Anne's story was about lamps, how she loved lamps. And there were just a dozen of them. And she would hold one up to the light and say something about it. I'm telling you, I just love the monologue format where you get a bunch of them. We did so many wonderful. Then Marcella did one called Marx, where Marcella Casals is one of our best actresses and directors and theater lovers. And best friends of so many of us. She was a woman who had tattoos, and she put them on with henna. And so she sat there in the little triangle downstairs with a spot on her where she talked about how this one came about, how this tattoo came about, and this one and that one. Just unforgettable. So that was talking with. I'm telling you, I'm having more fun, Jason, going through so and here's the postcard that we sent out for talking with. Jane Martin's talking with 11 women of all ages and backgrounds share their lives in compelling monologues. Another one was a woman, I should have mentioned this, it was about a woman who, a handler, her father, whom she talked about, would handle rattlesnakes in the mountains of Tennessee and other places. And about, oh, it was chilling, she had a box with the rattlesnake in it.
A live one?
No. But she, I think, if memory served, she's in there, she's holding the box, it's closed, but she said, now, if you believe enough in God, God's protection, you can put your hand in there and you won't be bitten. This goes on to this day. And so she puts her hand in the box and is bitten. I'm telling you, I mean, this is good theater, folks. This is very, very good theater. All right, Talking With, directed by yours truly, dates and times. Then it's now 8 o'clock drinks. Did I mention this last time? I did, I think.
Not talking with.
No, about drinks. About, did I forget? Forgive me if I did.
Do it again.
Well, anyway, all our early invitations said, here's the time, arrive at Brant's Lane for drinks.
People got upset.
I hadn't, because people got upset. I don't remember any of the patrons, because they were coming and they were drinking the wine coolers and the sangria. But it was, I had some actors who would say, the woman who put our wonderful woman who put these together, these programs together, she does this absolutely marvelous job. And she said, Lynn, do you really have to put it like that? And I said, yes, I do, because this, I want, I'm communicating, you know, we're going to get here at 8, you're going to have some wine. Then our curtain at 8:30. And then here at the bottom, this is a very important note. Please do not park on Brant's Lane. After a while, you know, at first I was going in 20 different directions, and people would be parking up and down the lane. I said, so what? Well, some neighbors found this difficult. I mean, it shouldn't be happening. So that's when I started doing this. And to this day, I have people who will, pouring down rain, it's snowing, they've come for tea or something, and they park on Brant's Lane. I remember, you have to park on Brant's Lane. And I said, I didn't mean one person coming for coffee had to park on Brant's Lane, but these traditions just still hang in there, don't they? Now, I'm going to share one more thing tonight, Jason. It's a wonderful garden show, a children's play. We did such wonderful children's work, if I do say so. And this was You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And here I'm opening the program. And those are the days that we have the Friends of the Gilbert, where we honored all of our people who gave money. And so reading those names takes me back 20 years. But let's get back to Charlie Brown. Charlie was the wonderfully talented Kevin Hight, who later played one of the characters in last week's play that we talked about, Crisis at Trinity. Remember that? We talked about Crisis at Trinity. You can speak up,
I want to hear you.
You can say things like, I remember, it's wonderful. And then one of our most talented actors ever played Snoopy, Sam Williams. I'd like to know where he is today. He did stand-up like nobody I've ever known. James, you knew him. Sam Williams, didn't you?
Oh.
Graduated from Methodist and then left us. But yeah, he was theater major at Methodist, one of the most brilliant actors and stand-up. One Christmas party, we all at about 2 a.m, we all stood around this table, and Sam Williams stood there and did stand-up as good as anything you would see on television. Marvelous. Let's see, who else? My wonderful Mimi Carter played Patty. She was a big part person in our lives here at the Gilbert. Then Lucy was played by Marcella, who was marvelous as Lucy. But we picture this. I mean, we have a doghouse out there. It's a musical. We have these adults dressed up like the children, and then people are walking in, families, children and galore, and with picnic baskets and blankets, and 120 people watching this wonderful show. I'm very, very proud of our shows that we did for children. And we'll talk about more of them as the weeks go on, Jason. Thank you so much. Want to thank Mary McGee, that long-suffering audience member here in our studio, and our new audience member, Brenda Alt, tonight. We thank you, Jason, for hanging in and probably saying to yourself as you look at that scrapbook, we have just got started.
We're just starting. Mm-hmm.